Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm all over the place. He's got the YouTube show, joining ESPN, Josh Pate, college football insider on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Josh. How are you, man?
I am good. I was sitting here as we were coming in. I can't off the top of my head think of a better time to be in the state of Texas for preseason, at least, of college football, because I'm looking across multiple conferences, including like multiple teams in the SEC and their contenders everywhere. So it's got to be a great time to be out there.
You're going to be in Columbus for week one. Who would you have favored in this game?
I would probably do about what the books have, which is have Ohio State, you know, sort of like that 1 to 2 point favorite area, which implies short Texas favorite neutral field. I was talking to a guy the other day. He's one of those guys that always likes to make everyone feel good. And he said, oh, well, you know, Texas wins, Ohio State wins. At least it'll be a good game. And that's kind of this formal thing everyone says to everyone if they're trying to be hospitable before these big games. And I was thinking, as I was driving away, like 20 minutes later, I thought, how in the world does anyone know this is going to be a good game? Right. It could be 38-10 either way, because there's very, very rarely do you get this kind of blend of talent and uncertainty on a field at the same time in college football. There are very few rosters that look like these. There are very few rosters with this little amount of returning proven production, and both of them have that. And so when you have something that combustible, yeah, it could be a 24-23 classic decided at the buzzer. Someone could just be minus three turnovers, and it could be a rout, and that wouldn't surprise me either way either. It will be a spectacle. That much we do know.
If one team is going to blow the other one out, which one's more likely, do you think?
I really think both of them are more. I literally, because I asked myself that the other day. Like, if we were to have Penn State, Ohio State, it's either Penn State wins close or Ohio State wins close or blows them out. All the options are on the table for Ohio State. I think all the options are on the table for both of these teams. Now, as sure as I say that, you may sit in Fort Worth or you may sit in Dayton, and respectively, you may say, our team's not getting blown out. No, it's unlikely, but I think it's equal parts possible. It wouldn't be because one dominated the other is the point. You may remember like the Alabama-Oklahoma game randomly last year. I don't think Oklahoma's three touchdowns better than Alabama, but if Bama goes in there and throws multiple pick sixes, then yes, that kind of thing can happen. Mm. The reason that kind of thing can happen here is very obviously because we're breaking in new starting quarterbacks, and you got premier athletes in the secondaries, proven or unproven, on both of these teams. So I don't know. I maybe slightly lean Ohio State in that answer, but I don't think there's any skill in it.
Josh Pate joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Josh, you know, every year you enter the college football season, there's usually one, two, three dominant storylines that kind of are on the top of everybody's mind. Is the number one this year as we enter 2025 just who really is Arch Manning?
Yeah, I think who is Texas, which is led by who is Arch Manning. I think the one benefit here, and the way I've chosen to look at Arch through the entire spring, summer, and then leading up to this game in the season is I'm not expecting him to win the Heisman. And if he does, that's wonderful. I'm not expecting him to, out of the gate, be elite. And if he is, that's wonderful. The reason I choose to look at it that way is because I get really, really fed up with people who make very, very grandiose college football predictions every August. And in reality, they're painting an unrealistic scenario. But the problem is, come December, when their expectations aren't met, they never look in the mirror and say, my expectation was dumb. They look at the player who didn't fulfill on their unrealistic expectation, and they call the player a bust. So to me, it's unrealistic to expect a first-time starting quarterback to just explode and be the greatest in the game. If he is, that's wonderful. It's a transcendent story. But there's a reason we call those transcendent generational type stories. They don't happen very often. My goal for him is be pretty good to really good. Be consistent. If you can just consistently play B-plus football, that's good enough for Texas to win a national title. And the benefit for him is he doesn't have to do what, say, a Cam Ward did at Miami last year. Cam Ward played phenomenally, but yet he also showed up knowing we probably got to score 40 today or we're not going to win because we don't have a complementary team around us. We don't have a defense. Texas has all those things. So, I mean, if it takes scoring 23 one Saturday and it takes scoring 38 the next Saturday, as long as you got consistent performance from the quarterback position, dude, there'll be a game this year where Texas's pass rush leads to 14 or 17 points. Could be Saturday. That's yet another way that game could get crooked. I want to have realistic expectations, but also be ultra excited to watch him.
Josh, one more thing on Arch is, you know, and we saw this in the playoff last year, home field was such a dominating factor. Are we not talking enough about Arch having to play like his first basically true road game?
I think it's been at the core of the way I've talked about him. I'm glad you mentioned that because I've just skirted right past it. I've thought about his season in totality like that. I've thought about the biggest games that he's going to play as a first-year starter virtually all being away from home, the A&M game notwithstanding, because he's even going to play OU in Dallas. So there will be no Florida coming to Austin or Ohio State coming to Austin or Georgia coming to Austin. There's none of that for him this year like there was last year. So, yes, that is absolutely part of it, and that's why as much as everyone's excited, including me, to watch Arch Manning, I'm excited to watch the Texas ground game. I'm excited to watch that pass rush. I'm excited to see how much they've replenished and backfilled on the offensive and defensive lines. Basically, I'm excited to see if the components of a football team that can reliably travel with you are built the way they need to be built to win a national championship.
Josh Pate joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Josh, when you look at these two coaches in this Texas-Ohio State game, just jump back 5 years ago for Sark and what the national perspective was on him as a coach and all the issues that he had. And then, I mean, jump back just even early December on Ryan Day and some of the people talking about should Ohio State fire him before they go on that run. Do you think they've both kind of solidified themselves as, hey, these are two of the top coaches now and there's no questions here? Or do you think there's still a little bit more volatility there in their futures?
Well, it really heavily depends on whether you're asking me or asking the general public. Because, I mean, Ryan Day could have lost the national title game, and I'd still think the world of him. I think he's really, really good, really cerebral. But the bottom line is most people, including his own fan base, would not have thought that. So it was all dependent on the outcome of one game, which I've always thought is pretty ludicrous. I know you get judged on wins and losses, but if we're aggregating multiple years of sample size on guys, to have your opinion turn over the span of four quarters of football is crazy to me. But I think now there is a chance, and I'm speaking of national narrative. I'm not speaking of what I think. I'll tell you what I think in a second. But national narrative-wise, picture with me for a second Texas losing this game by 13 points. I believe the plane has not touched down back in Austin Saturday night yet. Before people start to say in their minds, you know, you had a shot against DeBoer a couple of years ago, you lost in the playoff. You had a couple of shots against Kirby last year, lost both of them. You got a shot against Ryan Day in the playoffs, you lost. You just had another shot against him, you lost. Do we have a big game coach problem? Mm. That'll start to get said. I think Steve Sarkisian is phenomenal. I think he is as smart as any head coach in major college football. There are 10 layers behind answers. If you ever talk to him off the record for an extended period of time, it is as eye-opening and informative as talking to any coach I mean, it was very, very similar to talking to Saban. If you ever off the record, long form, talk to Saban, you just sit there and think, wow, there's so much in these answers. Now, I will say this. I always want to look past the head coach. One of the huge edges that I think Texas has in this game is the depth of proven staff. Texas has a huge edge there. You're breaking in coordinators left and right, both sides of the ball at Ohio State. And, I mean, that was an area where even if you kept all your guys, you got a tough matchup going against Texas's staff. This could be a game changer. I'm talking special teams, too, with Banks. That could be a game-changing edge for Texas in this game.
Josh, I love the Sooners getting Mateer in at quarterback. Are they a sneaky playoff team?
Yeah, they are. I wish I'd whisper it in this state, but I wish they had a more manageable schedule so we could get a true gauge on them. Like right now, people are not comparing Oklahoma to other teams in the country. They're comparing them to the schedule they play. They're doing the same thing with Florida. Like I think both of these teams, Florida and OU, I power rate them as top 10, top 12-ish caliber teams. The first thing people say when you say that is they can't make the playoff. Look at their schedule. Well, I'm well aware of their schedule. I've had the thing printed out on my fridge just like everyone else since January. But a team is not the schedule they play. Their final record will be a reflection, maybe, of the schedule they play. But quality of team, comparatively, should just be in a vacuum and pretend like everyone is operating on the same playing field for a second. Now, they're not. So the schedule Oklahoma plays, yeah, it's tough. It's daunting. What they do have is they do have a very not manageable in terms of easy, but manageable in terms of manageable type runway at the beginning of the season. You do get Michigan, but Michigan's not what Michigan has been, and Michigan may not be what they're going to be later in the season when they play them in week two. You get them at home. You get Auburn a couple of weeks later. Not an easy out, but frankly, there are half a dozen teams that I'd like to play less than Auburn right now in the SEC. So you get two of those in the first 4 weeks at home. They make a random road game at Temple. I have no idea how that happens. But they could build up speed. By the time they get to Red River, they could build up speed and be undefeated there, at which point Texas OU becomes one of the games of the year that should have been on everyone's radar, but for whatever reason isn't on enough radars right now.
Josh Pate joining us here at 105 through the Fan. With all the money Texas Tech spent, you know, in the portal, is it a disappointment if they don't find themselves in the Big 12 title game?
Absolutely it is. Is that not just one of the craziest experiments to watch in college football this year? I said this about Colorado under Dion. I did not call that a program. I called it an experiment. And it's just a choice of words for me, but it was indicative of the different ways that Colorado had been put together relative to what the history of college football said you had to do to put a quote-unquote program together. Well, now, Joey's a good friend of mine, and Joey would he would hang up on me if I use this phraseology with him, because he will swear to you, no, yeah, there's a different way we went and got them, but these aren't mercenaries that came in here. We feel like it's the best culture, it's the best vibe we've had in the building. Part of that vibe is we got more talented players in the building, so that makes coaches happy. But they really, really believe they've got a dynamic out there that's special above and beyond just the raw talent they went and got. And I love people saying that in August, because the beautiful part is you got 12 games to prove it. So there will be a definitive answer one way or the other. I look so forward to that game when they go to Arizona State, because you got two operations there put together in diametrically opposite methods, and we get to see it all play out. Then all the while, you just got Utah being slept on somehow. After one down year out of a decade, they're getting slept on. The Big 12 is amazing. I love watching the Big 12.
Josh, you know, there was an article last year from ESPN talking about SMU's conference flip, and the title was OS, Here Come the Billionaires. And that's kind of always been the thought of SMU, I think, around here in Dallas. It's just like, oh, it's just kind of the wealthy school that's not going to be very competitive. But they really feel like they've kind of all adopted the Rhett Lashley, like, chip on the shoulder and kind of toughness approach. How do you think about SMU within the national landscape and kind of their future prospects into the next 5 years or so?
I think SMU is as aware of their existence as pretty much any program around. Who's a really good comparison? Oregon, I'll tell you, is a good comparison here. They are not similar. Like, they're not apples and apples to compare against each other. But from a principled standpoint, Oregon, a long time ago, realized we are tucked away in the Pacific Northwest. There is not, in any given year, a single four-star recruit in our state. we are going to have to leverage Nike, really, really flashy uniforms, and national recruiting in a hopes of competing. And they've done that. That is being aware of oneself. The University of Georgia does not have to think the way that Oregon thinks, but they're trying to get the same result. At SMU, they were aware, for instance, that we're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to bend over backwards even to get that P4 affiliation. And they did. They kind of paid their own way in. And now they had immediate return on that investment in year one. I think the follow-up question, which is fair, and it's one I'm asking too, is will you have staying power? And this year, they don't even have to be in Charlotte. But if they're in the ACC championship picture again this year, to me, that goes as far as anything last year. Because you know as well as I do, a lot of folks last year are looking and saying, hey, that was a great story, but it was mainly a product of schedule. If you guys would have played a harder schedule, you wouldn't have been there, which you can't prove a counterfactual. So there's no way to know if that's right or wrong. But there is a way to handle your business this year and then look back and say, all right, well, now what? We played the tough schedule. Now what? And that's exciting because you got a quarterback returning there, but you got a lot of backfilling to do defensively. And I'm not sure the headlines are capturing that because they have a returning quarterback. But this is a really, really important year in the coaching career of Rhett Lashley. I'm very excited to watch that one. As you can tell, there's a lot of excitement for a lot of things with me right now.
Josh, what are your one of the big storylines, obviously alternate, just the Arch stuff is nationally, what will Bill Belichick's first year at North Carolina look like and into the future? How do you sort of evaluate what you anticipate from Belichick at UNC?
I don't think it's going to work to the degree that I guess it's expected to work. When he got hired there, $10 million a year, I saw the salary figure. And the first thing I asked on the next show we did is, what are the expectations here? Because you cannot ask me for my opinion before you state what your expectations are. And I was kind of talking to North Carolina folks, because if the expectation is for Belichick to come in and make $10 million a year to do what's always been done at North Carolina, he absolutely will succeed. Because I have no doubt that Bill Belichick can win 7.5 games per year. My suspicion is that he has been brought in to do more than that. And if Belichick's been brought in to elevate the North Carolina program, you're asking a guy who has never coached major college football to learn college football in his early 70s. So a guy who is older than any three of his players combined is now having to wash himself in a new sport. And I know what the temptation is. The temptation is to say, oh, football's football. Well, I mean, the measurements of the field are. That's about where the similarities end there. College football is a world different than the NFL. Well, I mean, college football is easier than the NFL. It's a step down. It's not easier. It's totally different than the NFL. There are some things easier. There are some things infinitely harder. And then the third thing, which is the most erroneous to me, is college football has morphed into being a version of the NFL. It hasn't at all. We pay players legally now. That is about the extent of the similarity between college football and the NFL. You don't have accredited agents at this level. You don't have slotted draft choices at this level. You have to compete for talent at this level. The salary cap is laughed at as a guideline more than an actual rule. And if you're expected to do more than just status quo at North Carolina, that means you're expected to compete for a playoff spot. And if you're expected to compete for a playoff spot, that means you've got to not just assemble good, solid rosters full of three-star kids that you develop. You got to go beat Clemson for some kids. You got to beat Miami for some kids. Because eventually, you can't just out-develop everyone and out-execute everyone. Because when you're competing for playoff spots, you're going up against teams that can recruit and develop and execute. They don't sacrifice X's and O's to recruit, in other words. There are some places that do that, but they're normally 8-win caliber programs. So if it's expected that he'll compete for playoff spots, I do not think he will meet that bar over there.
Josh, absolutely fantastic. Congratulations on all the success, man. Have a great season. Can't wait to have you on again. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys.
Josh Pate, ESPN on 3, Yahoo Sports on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Peyton Russell has the reply that we've finally gotten to that big old rack and peanut butter skin. PP in the morning after this.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Well, congrats to Peyton Manning. He has found himself on the most toxic show on The Fan, and there's no number two.
He put together the single worst 30 minutes in live radio history.
That is right. It is Tuesday, 8:20, a little pee-pee in the morning. And guys, we have the response that we've been waiting for nearly 8 months. Back in January, we played the clips of Jason Whitlock. And look, here on the morning show, we love the response. We like the initial attack. We play that. We react to it. And it's all about waiting for the response. We have the Tolos out there do a great job of, you know, tagging all of us and stuff, trying to get the audio as quickly as possible. But we finally got the response from one Joy Taylor. So Joy Taylor, who used to work at Fox Sports 1, she has finally responded to the Jason Whitlock comments made about her from earlier this year. And if you don't remember what Jason said, here's a little clip about what Jason said, and you can react to it.
I know what I'm capable of. That big rack of hers that she showed off constantly. It's just, and that peanut butter skin with that big rack, how does she get that job? How does she even get that opportunity? Because she's got a big pair of cans, and she's, according to Sheen, according to, she's willing to let people enjoy those big cans of hers.
It's the greatest audio clip of all time.
The way it's all just pieced together, it's like, this is so AI, but it's so perfect. It's because it's actually real.
The opening is so underrated, too. I know what I'm capable of. Like, he's talking like he's a predator that needs to be just, like, protected.
This is amazing. Again, back in January, we played those audio clips. But now Joy Taylor was on Cam Newton's podcast. And he, of course, brought it up and wanted a response. And this is what she had to say on the Cam Newton podcast.
Every time someone brings up Jason Whitlock, I can't believe he's still with us. Damn. I don't think anything works harder than his cholesterol, if I'm being honest.
Ooh, please.
When he said that rack.
Okay, so before you go on, I've never watched this. Okay, I'm only aware of this from adjacent conversation. I did not watch a single second of this. I couldn't give a less. And I have not consumed any of it.
Well, I'm going to give you the...
He said something about peanut butter, right?
Yeah, that peanut
what a
butter...
shock. The food.
Yeah. Peanut butter skin.
Okay.
And when I was working with her, we would always see her rack, and I wanted to stay away from her because I knew what I would have done.
Well, I mean, he's so desirable.
Yeah. But we love Jason.
No, we do. I do not. No, we don't. Who loves Jason? Does God love Jason?
Yeah, I do.
I do not. I do not love Jason. This is you say what you need to say. I do not. Don't love everybody.
Man, she came with some fire. The fat jokes were in there. Hopefully, Joy Taylor doesn't interview Rowdy Tellez. But
jeez,
I like Cam just. Flat out said they're going, I like Jason.
I like Jason.
Just to her face. I like Jason.
Actually, you're not going to hear what he was going to say.
You're not going to talk me off of it. I like Jason. I actually kind of respect that. But I don't believe her that she hasn't watched it.
Yeah.
She watched it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knew what she was doing there. But yeah, so
she could have been funnier in the responses. I watched it and I was like, all right, this is a little awkward at moments. And she could add some more ammunition plan versus the low-hanging fruit of, I know his cholesterol's working.
The sneaky death joke early on, I think, it was funny.
Yeah, it was more dark than funny.
Yeah.
But all right, it is PP in the morning every Tuesday at this time. Guys, I found the guy that Chris Young should have traded for at the trade deadline. Meet Tyler Phillips, who is a relief pitcher for the Miami Marlins. He has gone viral over the last couple of days for his entrance from the bullpen. Aiden has it up on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube.
This we can
react
awesome.
To that. You have all these relievers nowadays that have their own unique entrance to the game. You know, you have Edwin Diaz with Timmy Trumpets of the Mets. And then you had, you know, Mariano Rivera with Inner Sandman back in the day. They all want their unique way. But this one by Tyler is just different. You can see him here on the FanCam. You know, he's entering from the bullpen. And he starts it off by slapping himself in the face. He's trying to get himself pumped up here. And I was thinking, okay, you know, a little psychotic, but you know what? I'll let it slide. He's trying to get himself pumped up.
These
you know,
some hacks.
Some people are like, you know, into smelling salts, all that stuff. Whatever you can do to go out there, you need to get three outs. But then I really found out why this guy is a complete psychopath, because here's an interview with the post-game guy for the Marlins after their win over the weekend. And it's pretty clear cut why he's a psychopath.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Tyler, you threw 32 pitches yesterday. When did you know you were going in tonight?
When they called down.
And you were ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. They called down, I'm pissed off, I'm ready to go.
Why do you get so pissed off?
I don't like hitters.
How did you get through that ninth?
Throw the ball over the plate.
How long does it take you to cool down after a win?
I never cool down.
And the slapping, what was the level of slap? What was the slapping when you came on?
Pretty hard, my face is hot. Yeah.
How important was it for your team to get this win today?
It's big. I mean, every win's big. It doesn't matter what the record is. Every win's big. That's what we're here for. It's to try to win the game.
What has this organization helped you unlock for your career this year?
I think just be yourself. Go out there. Do what's you. Whatever's going to make you successful, that's what you do. And this team, I see it. We're a lot of young guys, and when you play for each other, have some fun with it, that's what you got to do.
Great win. You're scaring me. Go to the clubhouse. Thank you very much.
Says he hates hitters, man.
You should have his jersey already on your back, RJ.
I saw this the other day. It went to my I have a toxic masculinity feed on the Instagram, and I saw this. I was like, this guy, I've got to get this jersey. This guy's my new hero.
What's his name?
Tyler Phillips.
Tyler Phillips.
Yeah, former Rangers pitcher Tyler Phillips, who Chris Young designated for assignment.
Oh, should have got him
and
back.
The Phillies claimed him. By the way, he attended Bishop Eustace Preparatory School in Pensacon Township, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, Pensacon.
You know that area?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Well, Chris Young should have traded for him, but instead he, I guess, just DFA'd him is what he did.
Well, he has 6.87 ERA last year, and this year 3.27.
Maybe that's why he's slapping himself now. He's pissed off at this. But when he said, I hate hitters, I was like, man, I've never heard that one before.
I mean, Chris Young did let a guy with like a 6 ERA close for them to start the season.
Here we go. Next target.
But I mean, great job by the Miami Marlins, a radio pre and post game guy who was there. He's just, you know, staying in there because I know it's probably got to be tough. I've never been that guy of interviewing, you know, post game, you know, pre game or anything like that. So, I mean, I don't know what it's like to get the short answers. You're like, okay, I just need to get out
of
here.
Did he win? Did they win the game?
Yeah, they won the game.
Okay, you're not supposed to get like all the short answers after you win the game, but he's dialed in. He's programmed.
I felt like he kind of knew the guy he was talking to and he was doing a bit.
I felt like
my face is hot. Slapped it hard. Like, I thought he was just screwing with the guy.
It's hilarious.
It could be. You know, I got the Greg Popovich vibes out of it as well. But all right, guys, last story here. Look, I have found one of the more interesting set of rules for a soccer team. This is a Middlesbrough FC, an English soccer team that have a list of fines of players, you know, if they violate them. Aiden has it up on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. We can discuss that as well. And some of these are valid. You know, if you're late, not wearing your GPS, you get fined. And it's fined, you know, obviously in pounds, but it converts over. You can convert over to U.S. dollars. Leaving your jersey, or they call it kit, out there. You know, if you leave that out, you know, they'll fine you for that.
But then the list gets a little strange here. Touching wheel without permission. Now, I did some research, never found out what the wheel was. I imagine maybe, you know, they drive around in golf carts. If you touch someone's wheel, you know, without permission, it's a 50-pound fine. Leaving your flip-flops in the shower is a 50-pound fine as well. But now it just gets ridiculous. Not bringing a cake or treat on someone's birthday is a 100-pound fine. Now, this is equivalent to $135 here in the United States. But not bringing cake or a treat to someone's birthday will get you hit with a fine. If you're caught peeing in the shower, that's 50 pounds as well. So now you got to be caught.
How are you going to get caught?
Oh, you know, I
think you can see the stream.
Well, that means you get caught looking, too.
Look, I'll look.
Or look, you got to do the rinse method. If you're peeing after the shower's already off, that should be double fines as well. Because you do have some of those people that are like, well, I do need to pee, but they don't want to start the shower back up. You got the cold water coming back on you. So if you pee in there and leave evidence, you get hit with the fine. That's all I can think of here. Because, yeah, I'm not thinking these guys are looking at one each other, you know, whenever they're
really
peeing.
Really hard for me to, like, get my kid to know that it's okay that when he's in the shower, he can pee down the drain. Because he's just looking at me like, are you sure? It's like training an animal to do something new.
It all goes to the same place, right? It's going to the same, you know, like it should be fine. You don't need to always go to the actual toilet.
It's all
to pee.
Pipes. It's
unsanitary,
I'm sure.
I'm like, just pee in the grass. And he's like, no, like, absolutely not. Yeah. No. Like, so I'm trying to get him in those situations to just go in the shower or in the grass, and he won't do it.
I still always go before. The shower, I always pee before, but we're not flushers. We don't flush pee necessarily.
Ew.
That's disgusting,
ew,
dude.
Why don't you flush it?
I don't feel like reaching back there. And
is that why you don't pee in the shower?
Because
it'll
four.
Go down the drain. It'll
Does it have the ring around
sometimes
it?
I sit, you know, sometimes I sit and pee.
That's gross.
We just leave it in there for, you know, 3-4 days, whatever.
Why? No, I don't believe it.
We do.
No, she's so cleanly. How does
she's
she let urine
cleanly.
Sit in there? And then you get the ring that develops, but the urine smell?
There's toilet paper in there at that point.
Well, not for me, there isn't.
No, but if she's letting it sit too, yeah, there's toilet paper in there.
I don't believe it. Stop. No
we do.
Way.
It's
3 days? Let the pee sit in there?
I usually try to, I will flush it when I start to smell it.
Wow.
That's what I'll flush.
But why doesn't she flush it?
Just because she knows I'm going to use it too. And then it's just, you know.
Oh, how big are your water bills that you're worried about a few extra flushes?
They're really not that big. It's not even about the water bill. It's we're environmental, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing we hear about you.
We're very environmental.
Hey, what is this in
is
the last?
Is it about her saving on the water bill?
No, I shouldn't care about
what
that.
What is this in the last few weeks? Job has gone, she smells bad in the morning. She can stand a little weight. She leaves pee in the toilet. She's going to love
it. Wait till you hear the puke story.
The vomit story. That's coming.
Pee in the morning, putting up big numbers here. Every Tuesday at this time on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys. Choppy has some Diamond Cavs at 9 o'clock. But first, below the belt, will the Cowboys be entertaining even if they aren't very good? The most watchable teams in football next on Sean and RJ.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T-Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T-Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T-Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Don't be boring. Above everything else, just don't be boring.
RJ Choppy's motto.
Yep. Man, it is something that it can absolutely just destroy your enjoyment of a football season. Even when you're an okay football team, if you're boring, that can kill things. All right, this is Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Window Nation and D&M Leasing.
It's the Texas Ranger question. Would you rather lose like the 90s teams in offensive shootouts or lose like this? Like last night was miserable for me.
Yeah.
It was so awfully boring. So I'd probably rather lose the offensive shootouts.
Yeah. The worst thing you could be is boring, especially in sports. It's the worst thing you could be. If you're boring, I mean, you won't even get the benefit of the doubt on anything.
What is the American Beauty quote? Y'all ever seen that movie?
I have.
American Beauty.
It's very There's good movie. The very creepy.
It definitely is that. Angela is laying there talking to Kevin Spacey's character. And she says, I don't think there's anything worse than being ordinary. And that's what it is. There is nothing worse than, I want to be some level of entertaining. And so ESPN has their new list out of the most watchable football teams in the NFL. And we've also got another list from The Ringer, the annual list from Sheil Kapadia on the most entertaining offenses of 2025. But we're going to start with the list of the most entertaining teams to watch, which the number one most entertaining team to watch this season, according to ESPN, is...
Cincinnati.
Sean, you got a guess?
Team or offense?
Team.
I'll say... No, I don't have a guess.
Peyton, you got one?
Yeah, I will go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Close. The Philadelphia Eagles were 5. The Cincinnati Bengals were 4. The number one team to watch is in the NFC. Do not ring yourself up after you buzzed me last week for missing by 1 point. The Washington Commanders are the number one most watchable team in football. It says the Commanders were the perfect team to watch last season. 12 of their games ended with an 8-point margin, more than all but 3 other teams. In the fourth quarter, they had 19 scoring drives and surrendered 20 scoring drives. A big part of that is that they played fast under Cliff Kingsbury with the most no-huddle plays of any team since Chip Kelly's Eagles. Having more equals more opportunity for excitement. Then they list Jaden Daniels and all the other factors that go into the Washington Commanders.
And got Terry McLaurin signed yesterday.
How many games did you say were one-score games?
It said 8. That 12 of their games ended with an 8-point margin.
Oh, 12.
Man.
There it is. Bet the under. RJ Choppy.
The under, baby.
The CJ Stroud under.
Always happens. It always happens. If you have a crazy record in one score games, which they did, the next year flips. Flips.
We'll get to where the Dallas Cowboys.
We know the Eberflus game should have been a loss.
Yes.
Yes.
If not for celebrating a little too early. We'll get to the Dallas Cowboys ranking on this list here in just a second. I do think it's funny to look at this, though, and say, in terms of watchability, the worst team in football. Who do you think the least watchable one? Who is the one that you're just like, I don't want to watch them play ever?
The Saints.
Titans. Well, really close. That's second to last, the New Orleans Saints.
Titans?
No.
Indianapolis, if it's Daniel Jones. Ugh,
no, this is an AFC team, though.
AFC?
The Colts. Mm-hmm.
Jets.
I just said Indianapolis. Just
what
Peyton,
that's what Sean said.
Jackson.
And you just messed up my name.
I did. What?
Jets?
Nope. AFC North.
Oh,
Cleveland?
The Cleveland Browns. It says, no, thank you. Well, actually, I'll watch Shedeur Sanders' first start in Week 12 just to enjoy that. But other than that, no thanks. No, third to last, 30th in the NFL of just being completely unwatchable, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
On this list. It said the Chiefs were not very fun to watch last season, as was exhaustively covered. Kansas City ranked 28th in explosive pass rate and 30th in explosive rush rate. The Raiders were the only other team in the NFL in bottom five of both areas. They were kind of an ugly team to watch last year.
I'm betting big on Pat Mahomes, reminding everyone who the big dog is, and that kind of worries me, what you just said.
But then, see, the thing with them is they always get it done. They always win, and that's what's frustrating about them.
It's a high-flying, high-powered attack with the best quarterback in football.
It's not the team.
And weapons that have speed.
Yeah, like an Andy Reid offense is supposed to be like, wow, look how creative and fun this is.
Weapons who do speed.
Not totally the case. All right, number 14.
Did you say weapons who do speed?
Yeah.
Number 14, well done. The Dallas Cowboys is where they rank on this list. Pretty much right in the middle. It says, at times, the Cowboys' watchability can reach a terminal velocity, as so many primetime games and national television slots overwhelm my interest. But they are an objectively watchable team. Dak Prescott throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb is always a good time. And with the addition of one of the league's great wild cards in George Pickens, every Cowboys drop back will be appointment television. And there might be a lot of them. Trayvon Diggs and DeMarvian Overshown, Dallas's two best back seven players, could both spend the first half of the season on an injured reserve. That's not the case, because Trayvon Diggs has been cleared to play now. Save for those games when Micah Parsons takes over, and to do that, he needs to actually, you know, play for the team. Dallas's defense will put the offense in frequent holes, forcing Prescott to throw his way out. Just take a look at that running back's room. It's not as if they're going to hand off the ball that much anyway. And I think the description here is something that's obviously, we're just talking about watchability. That is my biggest fear right now, is that if you ask me right now, what's my anticipation for the Cowboys season? I'll be like, all right, well, the offensive line's got to be good. Dak, I think, is going to have a bounce back here. I think Dak's going to play well. You know, I think the receiving core is going to be good. My anticipation is that this is going to be, and I hate to say it so bluntly, but my anticipation is this is going to be an awful defense.
Whoa.
I think they're going to be bad.
Awful and bad. Why?
Bottom five. I don't think they're going to be able to cover anybody. And we already know they have issues running the ball, but they're so thin in their depth in the secondary. And there's obviously the question about when is Mike going to play.
Brandon Diggs as two corners are not
bums.
Yeah.
They're not bums.
I don't know what Diggs is anymore. Diggs did come back last year and didn't look like the same player totally. All right, is that just a case of the injury, or has he just reached a point of, I got paid and I'm a little checked out now? I don't know. I think Bland is good. Bland has had some issues with injuries and staying healthy, and he may have to play out of position when he doesn't necessarily want to. We don't know what Kyer Elam's going to be. So there are enough questions there, and we already know they have not shown us anything to answer yet that they're going to stop the run any more effectively than they've had trouble doing the last several years. But I think right now, if I had to bet on anything, I'd say I think that defense is going to be bad, and they're going to meet a lot of shootouts. And
I mean, offensively, they're going to be fun to watch.
I think
if it was just an offensive ranking, I'm putting them way higher than 14.
Well, let's
defensively, they're going to be fun to watch, too, because you're going to be able to see a lot of points.
Let's go to the offense. Sheil Kapadia has one of my favorite lists every year. He does, over at The Ringer, does the top offenses in football. Just looking at the offense, nothing else. Who he anticipates are going to be the best offenses in football. This is his top 10. Number one, the Buffalo Bills. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens. Three, this is a little bit of a surprise, and he even says his first line of his description is surprise.
This is best or entertaining?
Best offenses in football. Three, the San Francisco 49ers, which I think is a little interesting with some of the purging they've done.
Mm.
Number four, the Green Bay Packers. Number five, the Cincinnati Bengals. Six, Detroit Lions. Seven, Philadelphia Eagles. Eight, Kansas City Chiefs. Nine, Washington Commanders. Got two of your NFC East teams already. And taking up three of the 10 spots is the NFC East, as the Dallas Cowboys are the 10th ranked offense heading into the season, according to Sheil Kapadia. And here's the write-up. When Dak Prescott has been on the field for the Cowboys, they've consistently produced above-average offenses. Prescott missed 9 games last season, and the Cowboys missed the playoffs. But in 23, the Cowboys ranked 9th in offense. In 2022, they were 14th, and in 21, they were 4th. Having said all that, the offense was not good last year in the 8 games that Prescott played. From weeks 1 to 9, he ranked 26th in drop-back success rate. It's entirely possible that those struggles will continue, but it's more likely, in my opinion, Prescott will settle in somewhere between the guy who had a tremendous 23 and the guy who struggled last year. We keep talking, I think, in absolutes and on the polar ends of things of like, well, he was the guy who finished second in MVP last year or 2 years ago. I love referencing that one. It's one of my favorite things to say.
Kevin Hagman loves it.
I know. It's awesome. Bassick loves it. I know for sure. That's one of my favorite things to reference. And then everybody else loves referencing they were awful last year with Dak and they were going to miss the playoffs with Dak last year and he looked terrible. I do think Shields right that ultimately they're going to be somewhere. I don't think he's ever going to play quite up to what we saw at the end of 23.
So he only threw two, because I just asked myself that question, should we be talking about how bad he was before he got hurt more versus just going back to a couple years ago in the second place MVP? He only had two picks through the first 4 weeks. Now, his other numbers were a total of six touchdowns, and they were 2-2. Beat Cleveland, got destroyed by the Saints, got handled by Baltimore, and beat the Giants 20-15. And then you had two picks, 3 weeks straight. He threw two interceptions and losing two out of three to San Fran and Detroit.
Yeah, and the offense was just, you remember, it was so scaled back and tight. And like, what are we doing here? This just doesn't even look like the same offense that finished 23. And it was, they didn't have any trust in their offensive line. And that's why a big part of anything they do this season is going to be how good the offensive line is. And obviously, they write in here, the offensive line is a question mark, and you won't find anyone arguing that new head coach Brian Schottenheimer is an offensive savant, but there's enough here that I like, mostly Prescott and Lamb, to project an efficient passing game and a top 10 offense. And we did get the news yesterday. We've referenced already here Diggs in the watchability scale, and we referenced just now the offensive line. We did get the news that Tyler Guyton, Trayvon Diggs, both back at practice yesterday. That's an encouraging thing, obviously, for them. They need both of those guys if they want to have success this year. Both those guys need to play at a high level. But to me, I think the most frustrating aspect of training camp this last year or this last month was the fact that you didn't get a chance to see Guyton working consistently with the offensive line group. And I didn't get the answer of, okay, what is his projection? How has he leveled up? How has he taken a step up? We hear so much about, man, he's had a great summer. Man, he's done this, he's done that. But we heard that about Mozzie too. And we've heard that about other guys at different points. I want to see real tangible evidence that he's leveling up. And I think he's going to. I think the switch was with Connor Riley was going to be big for him, the Cowboys' new offensive line coach. I think that he's going to be somebody who's going to really foster what Guyton's got here. But it is pretty quickly, hey, you've got to show us that you can put this together in a relatively short amount of time, because otherwise the Cowboys are going to find themselves in a hole offensively. I think the defense will struggle. And if Guyton isn't good enough, then you're going to have a lot of issues along the offensive line. And that's going to present a lot of issues for any sort of run game efficiency and anything Dak can get done as he's become more mobile, the more he's had injury issues.
B-Lo.
B-Bell.
Every day at this time on your official home of America's team. It's 105.3 The Fan with our Cowboys insider Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com at 920. We'll finish up Ask Reddit with KNC at 940. But we don't want to talk about last night. So why is RJ Choppy already looking to the Texas Rangers' future? That's next in Diamond Cavs on also the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan, right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T-Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T-Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T-Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. Five DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.